Good morning. At this time, if you will please turn your Bibles to Psalms 28. Again, that's Psalms 28. That's going to be all 9 verses there. Starting from verse 1. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bury them up forever. May God add a blessing to the hearers and the readers of his holy word.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So says God's word in the 23rd Psalm at verse number 4. If you'll be opening up your Bibles there, please. We want to continue our study through the 23rd Psalm. I've told you on several occasions that I personally believe that I have found gold in this section of Scripture. And I know that many of you could probably quote the 23rd Psalm, but I think the question on the floor this morning is, are we living the 23rd Psalm? When you think about the first three verses in this great psalm, it's almost as if the sheep are talking to each other about their relationship with the great shepherd. But by the time you get to verse 4, you have a transition where the sheep seems to be directing their comments toward the shepherd himself. See, I know a whole lot of folk this morning, and so do you, who find themselves in the valley of the shadow of death, but God is not with them. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning that when you go down through there, through that valley of the shadow of death, if you go down there by yourself, you probably won't come out alive. And so when we read these verses this morning, you and I need to make sure that we're reading these verses for ourselves. And the message that's on my heart this morning is God's answer to the stress of dark valleys. God's answer. And ultimately, we want to talk about some of the facts associated with valleys. And then we want to talk about, well, is there a purpose behind you and I being in the valley? See, even good people, as I heard Jerry say in our Bible class this morning, that bad things happen to good people. See, sometimes you can just wake up and the devil will be waiting for you as soon as you step outside your house and slap you right upside your head. And you'll be standing there talking about, I can't believe what happened to me because I love the Lord. Just because you love the Lord, I got news for you. You have a target on your chest and your back. So it really doesn't matter. And you and I need to get real this morning about the seriousness of these valleys, and I'm so glad that I will have the opportunity to just kind of walk you through some of the things that I have discovered and rediscovered about being in this valley, what happens to us when we are in the valley, and how we need to be able to thank God when we have to go down through there, that we can continue to hold His hand. I read a proverb a couple of weeks ago that says, all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. And as you look in your own life, you must admit that it's the times when you were really pulled, when you were stressed, when you really had to see the quality of the relationship that you had with God, those were the times when you really grew. It wasn't the mountaintop experiences when y'all have so much money you can't even sit down on your wallet because you have to roll to the side and you got all kinds of money in the bank and your car cranks every time you try to start it and all of these positive things. Those aren't the times when you and I grow. It's when we're in the valley and the valley is sometimes on top of us. It's when you and I truly find out the quality and the caliber of the kind of relationship that we sustain with God. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
In James chapter 1, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation of Scripture. At verse 2, the Bible says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And see, right there, I already have to ask God to forgive me. Because most of the time, I'm not looking for trials. Now, y'all might be looking for them, but I'm not. And James is saying, Bill, you need to be jumping up and down. You need to be thanking God when these trials come along. Now, that's not what I do. Because the passage of Scripture that I quoted to you when we started, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I think the Bible should say, yea, though I run. See, because I don't believe in walking sometimes, especially when things are bad. But that's not what the text says. James, in this verse, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking in nothing. A complementary passage is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. Beginning there at verse 12, where the record says, behold, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? That rhetorical question should be answered. What is going to happen to people who don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's going to happen to people who think that they can go through life and sin with impunity and act and behave any way they choose? What's going to happen to the person on the day of judgment when you stand before God and you've been telling all your family and your friends that any church will do and I'll worship God to any degree that I choose, and God looks at you and says, what about the church that my son built? What about that? You need to step outside the line. See, and then at that point, it's going to be way too late. You and I need to be making these decisions that are going to help us eternally. We're going to have to understand that if we don't stick with the scripture, if we don't put our full weight down on what God's word says, we're going to be in a world of hurt on the last day. And this passage of scripture that I just read to you, both of these passages combined, just help me to understand that I need to keep my hand in God's in sunshine and in rain. Back in the day, there was a song that Mays put together called Joy and Pain. Now, I'm not going to ask y'all to sing it because I know y'all will be, AC might lose his mind in here. If I ask y'all to sing it, I'm not going to ask you to sing it. I just love the words because I have never, the way that he has juxtaposed joy and pain with sunshine and rain, I've never, ever thought about that before. But it is so true. You got to have both of them if you truly want to grow. Remember when you first found love, how you felt so good, kind that lasts forever, more so you thought it would. Suddenly the things you see got you hurt so bad. How come the things that make us happy make us sad? Well, it seems to me that joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. That's what it says. Love can be bitter. Love can be sweet. Sometimes devotion and sometimes deceit. The ones that you care for give you so much pain, but it's all right because they're one in the same. Don't it seem we go through life going up and down? Seems the thing that turned you on turns you around. Always hurting each other. If it ain't one thing, it's another. But when the world is down on you, love is somewhere around. Well, it seems to me that joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. And as I listened to those words on YouTube, I was completely blown away. What a profound statement. And many of us think that we're going to go through life unscathed. We think that we're going to go through life, and y'all be watching those tele-evangelists and those people that come on the radio that lie to you. Lay your hand on the radio, and y'all send me $1,500, and I'll bless you. No, you send me $1,500. No Bible open anywhere. No thus says the Lord anywhere. And people are just being prostituted because of dishonest religious charlatans. If it's half right, it's all wrong. So go back home and tell your pastor that's what I said. You tell them that Dr. Bill Davis from the Arlington Church of Christ, 6215 Arlington Road North, said that if it's not all in the scripture, then they're being dishonest to you. And your soul is too important for you to end up in an eternal hell because you'd rather listen to somebody who got you feeling good rather than showing you objective truth in the Word of God. We have more people in religious houses today than at any other time in the point in this year. People have focused more on their externals than they have their internals. Well, you ought to see how fresh I'm going to look tomorrow. Well, God is saying, where you been? God is saying, where you been? I'll be here tonight at 5 o'clock. Will you? Amen. Yeah, I wasn't waiting for an amen on that one. We'll be here next week to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We do it every first day of the week. We celebrate his life every first day of the week, not just one time out of the year. Now, see, I didn't mean to get on that because that's really not a part of my lesson, but I'm just saying. You and I need to understand that this is very, very important. And when we talk about wrestling and trying to be mature and dealing with the ups and the downs, one of our brothers in this congregation, I'm not going to call his name, but when I ran across this bit of prose, I thought about him. And as you listen to these words, they may be reflective of your relationship with God as well. The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, that stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. The man who never had to toil to heaven from the common soil, who never had to win his share of sun and sky and light and air, never became a manly man, but lived and died as he began. Good timber does not grow in ease. The stronger the wind, the tougher the trees. The farther sky, the greater length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snows, in tree or man, good timber grows. Where thickest stands the forest growth, we find the patriarchs of both. And they hold converse with the stars, whose broken branches show the scars of many winds and of much strife. This is the common law of life. Want to know why I love Joe Green so much? Because he's got the battle scars to prove that God is real. And not only Joe and our congregation, there are others who bear the scars. And when you talk about how good God is, you just don't respond just because it's cute. Yeah, God is good. Yeah, because God is good. You know, that's nothing but rhetoric. See, the real question is, when I'm down in the valley, do I believe that? When I just lost my job, can I praise God for that trial? And somebody says, well, you know, you just getting up there and you just doing all that yelling because it's Easter. Well, if that's how you feel, you shouldn't even be here. You and I better be focusing in on the Word of God every day we have breath in our body. We better be asking ourselves, is our love to God sincere? Even in our darkest valleys, and even in our darkest days, God is always there. For those who love him and those who serve him. I just want to read this passage of scripture into your hearing. I'm going to be merciful to you this morning. Don't ask me why, but I am. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 18, the record says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, the same sentiment is presented. In Hebrews chapter 13, at verse 5 beginning, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It has been said that there is a true place in Israel where there is a valley of the shadow of death. When you do your research, you come up with all kinds of responses. I don't know if the physical place exists or not. I'm not going to lose sleep over that. What I am going to lose sleep over is God real to me in sunshine and in rain for me? And when you find that I'm in the house of sorrow, when you find that I'm in over my head, when you come and talk to me, am I still going to tell you that God is real? Am I still going to tell you that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or am I going to bail out on it? As some people do. Well, you know, God didn't give me that job I wanted, so I ain't coming back to church. Maybe you didn't need that job. Well, you know, I wanted the Lexus, and God gave me the Kia. Well, why did you want the Lexus? Well, because AC's got three of them, and I just wanted one. Well, maybe you can't handle what he has. Maybe you just need to focus on you. And I need to focus on me. If four rubber wheels beat two rubber heels any day, as long as you have a car, you ought to be grateful. As long as you can get from point A to point B, why don't you just be grateful for what God has given you? See, this notion in the Hebrew, when you take a look at it at verse 4, the valley of death really means the valley of deep darkness. It's the valley of fearful darkness. Now, y'all need to listen to what I'm about to tell you. Some of us have been there. Some of you sitting here this morning are saying, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you just keep on living. See, because you're in one of three places this morning. You're either coming out of the valley, you're either in the valley, or the valley is right around the corner from you. One of three. And our life is just like an undulating line. We find ourselves up, and then sometimes we find ourselves down. And when we're in the valley, we need to hear from God to know how to deal with it. Don't you be listening to Oprah. Don't you be listening to Dr. Oz. Don't you be listening to all of these people who don't have a heart for God. Don't you listen to those people. Don't you open your newspaper. Well, you know, I'm Capricorn, so I need to see what. Now, I'm talking about church people now. See, we need to be very, very careful about who we are patterning our lives after. And so again, I told you, I want to talk about some of the facts about valleys. And then tonight, Lord willing, I'll finish up all the facts, because I know I can't finish them all up this morning. But then we're going to talk about the purpose for the valley. See, I've heard church people say all the time, why is this happening to me? Why come me? Well, why not you? And then we whine and gripe and complain, and all of the blessings that God has given us just fly right out the window. As soon as we clip our little spiritual fingernail, we want somebody to come get us. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Well, what's the first fact that I would put in front of you this morning? The first fact that I would put in front of you regarding valleys is that they are inevitable. Valleys are going to happen, and we might as well learn to expect them. I don't know who ever told us that even when you become a Christian, everything is going to be rosy and everything is going to go your way. You can even study the life of Christ, and you should know better than that. You turned your face toward Jesus, especially in this day and time. We're going to find out who the real Christians are. Somebody was talking about our congregation a couple of months ago. Well, where is everybody at? I said, what do you mean, where is everybody? The people who love Jesus, you're looking at them. Amen. Well, you know, we used to have more people than that. I said, how many people got on the ark? What? I said, you heard what I said. I'm not speaking Chinese. How many people got on the ark? See, we think that God is into mega church, you know. You know, we got the bigger the better. Well, you better go back and read your Bible. You see, the straight and narrow separates. And everybody can talk about how much they love Jesus today. How many people are going to obey his gospel today? And somebody says, well, I don't like y'all church because it's dead. Well, you know, if you want the circus, then go to the circus. If you want drama, go somewhere else, because we're going to stick with the word of God. And while most of you keep screaming out amen this morning, you can't amen everything in the scripture, because we're not obeying everything in there. How in God's name can there be an amen out of your mouth every time I say something? See, when people off the street come to the New Testament church, they need to be able to read in God's word what it says so that at the appropriate time they can obey it. Valleys are inevitable. They happen throughout our lives, whether we want them to happen or not. I'm turning to John chapter 16. When you study John chapter 14, 15, and 16, you know that that was that cerebral conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. He was trying to prepare their minds and their hearts for his exodus. But right at the end of John chapter 16, before he prayed the priestly prayer, he says at verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." I've often wondered how those disciples felt when Jesus was telling them right in their face, I'm going away. You may as well prepare your mind and your heart. I'm going away, but I'm telling you when I do go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But there's a ministry for you. There is work for you to do. I still wonder how their hearts must have been just about to jump out of their chest. And I'm so grateful that Jesus finishes this discourse by telling them that as long as you're in this world, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be struggle, Bill. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be important for God to be real in your life, especially when you're in the valley. But you see, when we talk to people today, they get all confused because when they look at television, they think that it's just going to be pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, that you're going to get every blessing that you want. Well, you know, Brother Davis, in my church, I said, yeah, I know it's yours because it sure don't belong to Jesus. Well, see, in my church, you know, we sow into this and we sow into that and we do this and we do that. And God is saying, can I have you? Amen. See, once God gets you, he'll get your pocketbook. Once God gets you, he'll get your time. That's true, we call some people here for ministry because we don't have committees at Arlington. We have ministries. Amen. And there is a difference. But when someone needs to be part of a ministry, if your heart belongs to Jesus and the work needs to be done, you don't tell us how many ways you can't do it. And I know that she'll never speak to me again. But that's why I like Hazel so much. When Hazel sees something that needs to be done, she's not going to call a committee meeting and she's not going to say, excuse me, who's going to do this? She just does it because her focus is on pleasing God. Now, she won't speak to me again, so y'all need to pray for me for saying what I just said. But sometimes we need to put flesh and blood on what we're talking about. I do love you, Hazel, and I'll always eat your pineapple upside down cake, whether you talk to me or not. I love Job chapter 5 at verse 7. See, one of Job's friends, y'all know what kind of friends Job had. Oh boy, I mean with friends like that, who needs enemies? And as Eliphaz waxed just eloquent in trying to explain to Job the reason why your life is so messed up is because you got sin in your life. But in chapter 5 at verse 7, he said, man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. Eliphaz was telling Job, look, man, you know, you finally messed up just like the rest of us. And even though we don't have time to work through that whole discourse, because you know what God did to all three of his friends at the end of that book, But this particular point here, I think Eliphaz probably spoke truth greater than he even realized. Because as you watch that fire and you see those embers, and when you throw that log on that fire in the evening, you can just see those embers. They just shoot up instinctively. And sometimes that's the way trouble comes in our lives. We want to do the right thing. We want to be the right person. We want to comport so that Jesus gets the glory, and the devil dogs your feet everywhere you go. So you really must be on the right path. And we ought to thank God. See, because the devil doesn't bother anybody going his way. And I know at Arlington, he's coming after people that I consider to be A-team members. I'm talking about people who don't play around. Y'all hear me? I'm talking about people who are very serious about God. Now the devil is just trying to come into their homes and kick the door open with sickness and disappointment and depression and you name it. Amen. Trying to break their hearts and break their spirits. But the inevitability of these valleys, I need to be clear to the end that they are out there and they are coming. Have you ever talked to somebody after the assembly and they look at you and say, child, you won't believe how they treating me on my job. Have y'all heard that? You know, as if that's a big surprise. I know many of y'all work for Pharaoh. You've been telling him to let me go for years, and he won't do it. You work harder than everybody. You outshine everybody. You train everybody, and you watch them go right on past you after you've trained them. It happens to all of us. And then you end up in the valley, and they're home snoring because they got the promotion that you didn't get. May God help us, give us the strength to remain faithful to the end. You also know in Job chapter 14 at verse number 1 that man is born of woman, is of a few days and full of trouble. I love Isaiah chapter 53 at verse 3. Where Isaiah said, speaking of the Christ, that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The valleys are out there, brothers and sisters, and they hurt. Sometimes they happen and they knock the wind out of us. Sometimes they happen and we're just left for dead on the side of the road. But thank God that there is always someone more spiritual than you who can come over and help resuscitate you, stand you back on your feet, and remind you that we serve a great God. Amen. Here is the second fact, and I'll close with this one, and we'll try to finish these up at 5 o'clock, Lord willing. Valleys are not only inevitable, but they're unpredictable. When was the last time you woke up and said, well, I think I'll have a flat tire on the way to work today? That's not how it is. You try to lay everything out. You try to do everything right. And that devil just pow, just comes right along. I told y'all when I worked in the academy and I was supposed to turn in reports and people would call me, well, Dr. Davis, where's your report? I said, the devil's got it. What did you say? I said, you heard what I said. I said, the devil's got it. What do you mean? I said, the devil is in my computer and I can't get it out. Send somebody from IT to fix it. They send somebody from IT. The person is there 45 minutes and they get my report. Now, why do you suppose that I could get everything out of there with the exception of my report? It's the devil. And somebody says, it ain't no devil. You just had a sorry computer. No. That was a brand spanking new computer. The unpredictability. And somebody says, well, you should have printed out last night. And I said, well, you be quiet. Valleys, they're just unpredictable. Have you ever lost your job at the right time when you wanted to lose your job? Well, I just think I'll lose my job this week. Have you ever been to a hospital at a good time? There's Jerry, he'll tell you. He works that difficult shift when people just stumble in there, and it's just so interesting to hear Jerry tell some of those stories about the people that come to the ER. But you don't wake up one morning and say, well, I think I want my appendix to burst at about 2:30 so I can swing over. And that's not how it happens. That's not how life is. Valleys just happen. And generally, when we least need them and when they're most inconvenient for us. I was reading about Job a couple of days ago. That must have been one long, tragic day that he experienced. He couldn't even take a breath as the bad news just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And Job didn't wake up and say, well, you know, today I think is the day that I'll demonstrate to God how much I love him. The devil is no good, brothers and sisters. He's no good. And that's why I'm telling you that if you find yourself in the valley without God, you're in bad shape. But thank God there is a way that we can so live and so behave ourselves that we can be on God's side. I'm going to put an asterisk right there. And I'm going to finish this message tonight. Now, Ronnie, I know you find it very hard to believe that I'm stopping. I find it hard to believe that I'm stopping. But I'm going to stop right there. Because I just wanted to give you something to think about during your Sunday afternoon brunch. How are we going to live in the valley? Are we going to trust God in the valley and on the mountain? What is your truth and what is mine this morning? God's answer for dark valleys. I don't know what your situation is this morning, but I know what mine is. I need Jesus. Y'all hear me? I need Jesus like I've never needed him before. I need Jesus because I want to love my wife more. I need Jesus because I want to appreciate my mother more. Sister Freeman told me yesterday, Brother Davis, I just love your mother. You know how proper she is. I just love your mother. You know. I said, I love her too. You know. We better appreciate our parents while we have them. Some of you are sitting here this morning and the legacy of your mother or the legacy of your father continues to live in your heart. But while we have them, we better give them flowers while they can smell them. Some of us who are married, brothers, have you really loved your wife the way Jesus loves the church? Be careful now. Be careful. Because if we have, our sisters would smile more, wouldn't they? Sisters, do you really respect your husband the way God wants you to respect them? Not Gloria Steinem. And not these women who get around the table. I don't know what the name of the show is, but it's five or six of them, and they meet every morning, and when I can't understand a word they're saying. Maybe that's why they call it chat or chitter, whatever it is. Don't you listen to them? You better listen to the word of God. When you look at your husband, do you encourage him? Do you tell him that you can see the light of God in his life? That he is going to be a man of God. Not only a man of God, but a great man of God. And you pray for him every day. Is that how you encourage your husband? If not, then you need to join me on the front row this morning. Because the devil wants to take all of our families out. Y'all hear me? He wants all of our families to be mediocre. Young people, y'all are coming off your spring break. It's time for y'all to get back to work. But during your spring break, did you swing over to your dad or swing over to your mom and look at them and tell them how much you love them and how much you appreciate what they do for you every day? Mom, I want this. Mom, I want that. Dad, I want this, and can you give me $50 so I can go to the movies? Have you been grateful? Have you been thankful? Is that the kind of life you live? Because I'm telling you, there are short graves just like there are long ones. Especially here in Jacksonville, our children are just killing each other. It's a shame before God. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know that you were not invited to our assembly to be insulted. You were invited to our assembly because we believe in the verbal, plenary, inspired word of God. Every word in here, we believe it. We not only believe it, we want to live by it. And so when you see us out shopping or you see us out working, we're going to be turning our face toward God. And if you see that we're not, you ought to call it to our attention. We're not perfect, but we follow a perfect Christ. Because we want to go to heaven when we leave from here. There's too much hell we've been going through. Amen, lights and walls. On the back of our bulletin, we have given you the plan of salvation. We have given you scripture where you can actually go in the privacy of your own home or in your own war room and you can read those verses for yourself. Are you courageous and brave enough this morning to hear God for yourself, to hear his word for yourself? Romans chapter 10 at verse 17, faith comes by. See, that's why I'm so grateful to be part of a congregation and a church where you can actually hear God's word being taught. That's important because the answers are in here. The answers are not philosophy 101 and sociology. It's not in any of that. The answers are in God's word. Would you then be brave enough to believe what you've heard? Hebrews chapter 11 at verse number 6. But then not only to believe what you've heard, but then to be willing to repent, to turn your life and to turn your mind and your heart and your spirit toward the cross of Christ. I love that word repentance. Metanoia, what a beautiful word that is. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of dimension. If you've been cussing around your house, that means you won't cuss anymore. If you haven't known how to dress appropriately, you will if you're going to be a woman of God. Amen. See, when y'all come here, y'all don't see our sisters with their backs all out and stuff hanging off. See that? Women get in front of the spiritual mirror of God before they come up in here. It makes a difference. That's why you don't see our young men with their pants dragging around their ankles. They know me and Joe will pull them up. Somebody said, well, you put your hand on my child, I'll call the police. Well, good, because they need to lock you up too. It's a shame before God. But when you stand before the mirror of God's word, you pull your pants up and you look decent. But that's all a part of repentance. Then are you willing to confess that Jesus is Lord? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and then allow your body to be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sin. I know what everybody says outside these walls. I know that they say that baptism is not essential for salvation, and the scriptures are replete to the contrary. Somebody says, well, that's not what my pastor says. Well, then you better take your pastor back through the 10 conversions in the book of Acts that are all consummated in water. What are they going to say about that? Well, I know that's what that says, but that's not what that means. Double talk. Politician talk. That's what that is. They're going to politic you right into hell because they want your... See, as long as you pay your dues, you can sit on that seat. And if you pay a premium, they'll even put a little gold stamp with your name on it. You may as well enjoy that seat because you won't have one in heaven. But many of you already know that this message has been for us. This message has been for those who purport to be New Testament Christians. This message has been for those of us when we get in the valley, we say that we believe in God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, if you've been like me of late, when your life has been tested, have you stood with God? Have you still communicated to him that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, Bill, I'm running out of gas. No, you're in the right place to get refilled. You're in the right place because AC is going to take your name before the throne of the living God. Pray on your behalf. It doesn't get any better than that. And I'm so glad here at Arlington, we're not ashamed of Jesus. Because I know some of you have already decided that you're going to be asking for prayers, and we're going to wait for you. Others of you are sitting there saying, well,
yeah, but if I come down there, then that'll mean that I'm not spiritual. Well, you probably aren't spiritual to begin with.
That's right.
It's the strong people who respond to Jesus.
That's right.
It's not the weak. The weak have to hide behind people because they don't want to have eye contact with Jesus. It's the weak who are saying, I thought you said he was through. Well, I got to go to Old Charlie.
Turning back, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.